Hey, it is I, the Pete, for another 666 cast from website666.com. Happy February the 13th. Wait, that's not right. February 13th. Yeah, that's it. Sorry, joke misfire. I'm still asleep. I'm recording this on noon, February 13th, 2011. Wow, it's been a crazy week. We had Egypt got its freedom, we hope. Seems like peaceful protest actually works. Who'da thunk it? And that shows you how bad off we are. Because I took part in several big protests that were synchronized with other protests around the world back in the Bush years. Before the war, during the war, we're still in the war, so there's no after the war. We didn't succeed in getting anybody out of power. And I really wish we had, because Bush was definitely up to no good. And nobody would investigate anything. And so now he had to, I don't know if you heard about this, but last week he canceled a trip to Switzerland. I think it was Switzerland. Where he was supposed to give some sort of speech, he canceled it, and he hasn't said why. Nobody from his camp says why. Democracy Now! Reported that there are actually people, activists, and actually law enforcement agencies in Switzerland and elsewhere that are interested in enforcing international law and actually arresting. They want to arrest him. To go on trial for war crimes, which is pretty awesome. And what's the proof? Well, he admitted it. He admitted that he tortured in his book and in the Matt Lauer interview he did. And so there you go. For years, myself and plenty of other people were like screaming for some impeachment hearings. And for some stupid reason, the Democrats didn't want to have a pair. And so nothing happened. No investigations happened. And basically, he's gotten away with it so far. It would be great if we could see him taken to trial. It would be a wonderful example to set now that we're not the shining example of freedom and democracy and human rights that a lot of people think we are, or a lot of Americans think we are. Because guess what? Egypt just usurped our asses. You know, both the Egyptian people and the military. You know, they could have cracked down to save Mubarak and his power, but they didn't. They did the right thing, and they did what the Egyptian people wanted, proving that, you know, maybe military men in these countries are actually not just about the money, and they actually are citizens of their country as well as protectors of the government. You know, because in these kinds of countries, that's usually what I think of the military doing, just, you know, playing, you know, bodyguard to the, you know, to the government. And I don't think that about the United States military. I think they are just, you know, they've had too much of the Kool-Aid to drink, sadly. And while I think their motives are pure, unfortunately they've been lied to. And let's just say I'm glad I didn't end up in the military, because I was aiming for it for a long time, and I didn't, because I failed my pilot physical. So anyway, I think I've talked about this on the podcast, so I won't waste your time. Plus, I'm in a bit of a rush this week. Got a lot to do. I barely have time to record this in the first place, but I had to weigh in on the whole Egyptian thing. I mean, I can't believe it. I really was kind of expecting things to go south somehow, even though rationally I knew there was very little alternative for Mubarak. I mean, he had to bail, basically, because, you know, the whole world was watching. It wasn't like Tiananmen Square, where it was sort of like we kind of heard about it after the fact, you know, and it was just like TV, you know. It wasn't like, you know, Twitter, Facebook, the internet on fire with information and videos of what was going on. You know, so it was like he kind of had to do it. He couldn't turn to massacre, you know, and just start shooting people until everyone scattered, which I believe is what happened with Tiananmen Square. And, you know, he had to, he had to, you know, he was on the world stage. The spotlight was literally on him. And, you know, and so in the end, he did the right thing. Finally, after decades of being in power, he decided that he would do what the people wanted instead of, you know, not listening, not giving the people a chance to even speak, you know, because clearly those elections were rigged. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So yay, Egypt. Congratulations, guys. I doubt I have any listeners in Egypt, but, you know, it's the thought, it's the spirit, right? So, anyway, what else was I going to mention about Egypt? Now the pressure is on the rest of the Middle East. In fact, I saw a headline just this morning that said, okay, Iran, it's your turn, or something like that. And basically, you know, that's the truth. And already in Algeria, which is pretty awesome, they're apparently doing a bunch of protests as well. Unfortunately, they're getting arrested and stuff. So we need to get the Twitter over there and the Facebook and all that and get some people broadcasting live video on the spot. And the news needs to follow that shit instead of ignoring it, because they're still in the basking in the afterglow of the Egyptian thing. So hopefully this coming week we'll see coverage of Algeria and all their protesters. Fingers crossed anyway. But yeah, and so to think that, you know, freedom is in fact contagious, just like the conservatives were always saying. The catch is, you know, you can't go shoving it down people's throats. And of course, you know, in Iraq, we weren't really after Iraqi freedom, you know. We were after the market. We were after going in and creating a market. And that's, they've made a mess of that too, but they're definitely closer to making Iraq into a new capitalist society than they are giving them their freedom. So, because there's still plenty of violence over there and it's still a big mess. Meanwhile, Tunisia has a quick little mini revolt that succeeds in, did it succeed? You know, fuck, I don't even know. I haven't had time to follow stuff. But, you know, I do know that the Egyptian rally or the Egyptian protests were inspired by Tunisia. And so what happened in Tunisia, and I believe it was a couple guys set themselves on fire and so in protest of their government. And then a couple Egyptians did the same thing. And then the Google executive guy, he posted that Facebook page. And then there was a teenage girl who basically challenged Egyptians everywhere, including specifically Egyptian men, to come down and protest at Tahrir Square with her. She said, you know, to anyone who says that, you know, girls shouldn't go down there because they'll get, you know, hurt, I challenge you to come down to the square. If you're a man, come down to Tahrir Square and protest with me. And it's just like, nice. Not only did she appeal to their masculinity, but basically challenged it. So that was awesome. And that video is apparently all over YouTube and viewed by many, many people. So, but you can hear some amazing coverage of this whole story if you go to democracynow.org and check out their videos and audios. You can check out I listen to their podcast, their audio podcast, almost religiously, nearly every day. I'm usually a day behind just because they record it live in the morning and I don't have time. I don't have an easy way to sync it to get it downloaded while I'm at work. So I'm still working on that. But I'll probably figure out a way to do that soon. But anyway, definitely check out Democracy Now! If you want to hear on-the-ground reporting. It's really impressive on-the-ground reporting. I mean, one of their producers is from Cairo, so he just went home and covered it. I think I talked about this last week, actually. But it all was so brilliant because, you know, what a better way to cover democracy breaking than to have Democracy Now! Do the coverage. I mean, come on, it's in their name, right? So the Egyptians have a chance at Democracy Now!, so that's good. So yay, democracy. Too cool. And so for the second 15 here, is it 15? I doubt it's even 15. Like I said, I'm kind of rushing through here. Oh, it's not even 10. We're just coming up on 10. All right. I unfortunately will have to only do another 10 here, 10 minutes. And next week will be hopefully a full length. 666 cast, so a little short. I apologize. So for the second 10, anyway, there was a point that was brought up on the Daily Show, not this last week because they've been off, but the week before, that I forgot to mention in the second 15 last week, which was the whole thing about who can we trust. We don't really have anybody to trust anymore because the Democrats are flaccid and the Republicans are just basically, you know, evil. I shouldn't say evil, corrupt. That's the word I like, corrupt. And the Democrats are pretty corrupt too. But the Republicans are just blatantly amoral at this point, really. I mean, it's like the Republicans, they just will blatantly lie in your face and tell you it's the truth. The thing that the Daily Show did, I can't remember the woman who is the reporter that did, or the commentator who did this piece, but, it was the whole story about, you know, they wanted to undo, certain aspects of Obamacare. And the idea was to ban funding of certain kinds of abortions. And she ran this clip, which just freaked me out. It was a clip from The View, and Whoopi Goldberg is talking about Roman Polanski and how, you know, he's really not guilty of rape. Not rape, anyway. She actually used that. A woman actually used the phrase, it wasn't like it was rape, you know? Like because he was an adult... He took advantage of this girl, this 14-year-old girl's, you know, innocence or whatever, however it happened. You know, it's like, that's not, I mean, okay, it may be a different kind of rape, but it's still rape. Rape is rape, you know? And when someone is too young to be able to make the choice, the mature choice, then that's the way it goes, you know? And it would be one thing if it were like another kid her age, because, you know, well, shit happens, but that Roman Polanski guy, he really should have known better, you know, and, what the fuck, you know? And Whoopi Goldberg should have known better as well. And so that was one of the aspects of the Daily Show piece. And they basically just were talking about how, like, you know, the Republicans want to stop funding of this kind, you know, of certain types of rape. So like incest, what was the other one? There was another one. I can't remember what. But the idea of micromanaging, you know, rape is just such a, you know, disgusting thing to even consider. And, you know, these are our leaders. These are guys who call themselves good Christians. You know, as far as I'm concerned, Christianity, when I was 12 and I decided to become an atheist, I would have, if I didn't do that then, I would have done so now, because this disgusts me that these Republicans who call themselves Christian conservatives are, you know, daring to say something like, oh, well, rape, you know, rape isn't always rape, or certain types of rape aren't as bad as other types of rape, you know, in the eyes of the law. It's unbelievable. Or in the eyes of the government. I just can't believe it. It's like they have no fucking sympathy for women. It's just baffling me. You know, this is disgusting. And anyone who's a Christian, anyone who's a Republican, should stand the fuck up and scream out their window, I think women should have equal rights. Because when we start telling them what they can and can't do based on, or what, how, if we start telling them where our tax dollars are going to go based on the kind of horrible thing that happened to you, that's ridiculous. That shows a complete, utter lack of compassion, and it's disgusting, and it's just revolting to me, and it should be to you and everybody else. but there they are, you know, blatantly, hypocritically trying to you know, micromanage this kind of thing. And it's like, don't these fucking morons understand that, you know, fate is fate. There is no God. Obviously they don't understand there's no God, but fate is fate. Sometimes shit happens. You know, you can't just go saying, oh, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, if this chick got raped, you know, that's just the way it goes. She should turn to her God and her family for support. It shouldn't be the government's job. And it's like, no, I'm sorry. What if she doesn't have a family? What if she doesn't believe in God? What then? Oh, well, that's her fault then? Oh, is that it? The fuck? Fucking have some compassion, goddammit. We're supposed to be the richest country on the planet, yet we can't afford to pay for somebody to you know, get a second chance, to not be forced to live with this horrible event that happened to her the rest of her life, which she'll already have to do. The abortion will just make it easier. I mean, what the fuck? And then the best thing about this Daily Show story is they pointed out just how many abortions were covered by the government in the first place. Like, how many, period, regardless of the kind of abortions. And it was, like, a tiny number. It was absolutely, really infinitesimal. I mean, I think it was in the hundreds, to be honest. You know, and it just, I mean, I was so incensed, I wasn't taking notes. so I don't remember the exact number. But you get what I'm saying here. And it's just like, I'm constantly baffled as to how un-American America is at this point. You know, and granted, we've got all sorts of cool freedoms and whatever, and a minuscule social safety net. But you know what? I still can't go to the doctors. I mean, I finally have a day job, but they're not giving me benefits because of a long story. Nothing to do with me. It's just the way they hired me. I mean, if I can get benefits, I will. But it's like, you know, I just don't understand this. And then they're like, you know, we've had two judges, you know, say the Obamacare is unconstitutional, and nobody's really talking about the morality of insurance companies. I mean, that's really why I want an out. This is why I don't want to be forced to get healthcare by law. You know, if I get it through work, then I get it through work. But I'd rather not be forced to take my own money, which I make myself. You know, in fact, I'd rather not do it through work. You know, but if I can get help paying for it, maybe that makes me feel a little bit better. But you get my point. Is that, you know, nobody's talking about reality. You know, it's like I've talked about my concept, the absurd disconnect, right? It's where, you know, people blatantly go against, you know, their best interests. They know what their best interests are, but they don't connect them to what they're saying. So, like, you know, so farmers, you know, independent, you know, actual family farmers will vote Republican without realizing that, you know, you kind of want a Democrat in office because they're more about protecting the environment, that thing you use to make money, you know. So, you know, it's that's the absurd disconnect. And then, but the one thing I've discovered is something that I don't know if I'm going to call it this or not, but the subtle disconnect, where people don't realize, you know, they're just oblivious to what's going on. Like, the stark contrast between Egypt and America now, you know, their leader did something wrong for years, and they did something about it. Sure, it took them 30 years, but we're America. It shouldn't have taken us. In fact, we still haven't figured it out that Bush should be arrested and put on trial. We still don't know that, you know? And that's the subtle disconnect, this idea that, you know, we're just not aware of how disconnected we are from what's wrong with our country and the world. It's like how we don't talk about outsourcing as being un-American. That's what it is. It's anti-American. It's worse than un-American. It's anti-American because what does outsourcing do? Outsourcing sends the jobs to other countries. Do you want jobs to go to other countries just so, you know, a couple of rich CEOs can get richer? I don't. That's kind of fucked up. But anyway, all right. Yeah, so we're coming up on 19. So yeah, this is a good time to begin to wrap it up here. Apologies for the short 666 cast. Just been real busy with the day job. Got a couple of days off this week. So hopefully I will be able to sneak in another 666 cast that I can post in a week's time. Or it might go up early. Who knows? We'll see. But thank you very much for listening. I hope all is well in your neck of the woods. Love to hear from you. You can @reply me on Twitter. I'm @ThePete. Or you can also reach me on website 666.com. Website 666.com. Let me just make sure everything's still up and running there. No, website 666, not website.com. I saw the sixes. I typed them in, damn it. Anyway, you can also call the 666 line, to 740-297-6661. It's 3 6s and a 1. That should work. Did the last time I checked anyway, which was admittedly a couple weeks ago. There's also the Ask Me Something link on the website. You can hit that. Also, check out don'tlike.com to post links to what you don't like on the internet. That's dntlk.com. And what else? And FU. I haven't really been keeping fu.org up, but I will be getting back to that soon. It's all about timing and finding it. But anyway, well, thank you very much for listening. Hope to see you back in a week's time. Have a lovely day or night, or whatever time of the day it is. And this is the Pete signing off.